What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 47, and this is part 4 of our 5-part series on the best foods to eat. And today we're going to be covering, I mean, probably the worst tasting of the bunch. We're going to be talking about organ meats. So we're going to go into why you should incorporate those into your diet and why they're so nutrient dense. But first, let's do a little check-in. So Tom, how's your week been?
Man, it's been great. So I introduced a new type of training style. It's kind of like a Tabata set, but with weights. So a Tabata set is a 10-second sprint, 10-second rest, 10-second sprint, 10-second rest, and so on. And you do about 4 to 6 of them. It's like a 3-minute workout, hardest 3 minutes of your life, and then you're just done. That's your entire workout. So I did something similar with weights. So what I did was I stopped 1 rep short of my max. So like right before like I started shaking to like force that 1 last rep up, just stopped.
So almost a failure.
Almost a failure. So I was doing deadlifts. I did the first set was like 7. Set the weight down. I probably could have done like 8 or 9, but I was like, just stop there. Took 5 deep breaths, which is probably about 10 to 15 seconds. Picked it back up, went 1 short of failure, 5 deep breaths, kept doing that until I could only do 1. So overall, it was probably like 8 or 9 sets altogether. And that was like I did that. Then I did leg press, 1 leg at a time, did the same style. Mm-hmm. So I picked a heavy weight, something I could probably do about 7 total, but just stopped like that 1 short.
So your second, say your first set you did 7. How many did you get on your second set?
It was like 6.
Okay, so you still got pretty close.
Because I didn't max out. Mm-hmm. So I still had, a little bit left in the tank each time.
Okay.
So you're not going quite to failure, mm-hmm. except for on like that last like 1 or 2, then you're really going to failure.
Okay.
I was sore for 3 days.
I think I should try that.
You know how long my workout took? Mm-hmm. And I did a leg workout. 20 minutes. That's including warm up. Yeah. That's including cool down. Mm-hmm. 20 minute workout. It's like 6 minutes on deadlifts. Some of that was setting that shit up too. Cause like, deadlifts isn't set up for you.
No.
You have to go
if only.
Carry the bar across the gym, pick the weights up, all that.
Yeah, that's actually really cool. Have you ever heard of, I'm sure I've talked to this at some point. It's called dog crap training.
No, I don't think I'm not familiar with that.
It's a stupid name. I just say DCT to like, get around that. But it's a technique where you do, it's way more reps than that. But you'll do, let's say pull-ups. You do a set of pull-ups and say you can do 16 pull-ups. Okay, cool. You do, and you're going, you're max out. 16 to failure. You stop. You take 3 deep breaths. And then you do 4. Then you stop, 3 deep breaths, and you do 4. And then you work your way back up to doing 16 total reps again. So 4 sets of 4.
Okay.
And then you're done for that exercise.
So it's a really similar concept.
Similar concept.
Yeah.
I do that with dumbbell hamstring curls. That's like my routine with my dumbbell hamstring curls. Because training at home, working hamstrings like specifically, it's hard unless you have an actual like hamstring curl machine. And I'm not getting that shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So doing it with the dumbbells, I have to go pretty lightweight. So it's a great way to make that lightweight feel heavy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
But I like that with deadlifts. I would love that. I'm going to do that next time, 100%.
I found it. So I did the same thing for upper body. The next time I did upper body, did dips, which I can do a ton of dips.
Yeah.
I did military press before I did dips, so at least my shoulders would be tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, instead of pull-ups, do you know what the tracks like straps are?
Mm-mm.
So it's just like a set of straps attached to a bar overhead, and they're all a different height. So I went with the lowest ones because those are the hardest for, I don't know, horizontal pull-ups.
Like body weight rows.
Yeah, body weight rows.
100%, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's not the best exercise because it's really easy to cheat. Okay. If you drop your ass a little bit, which isn't something you're even consciously thinking of, it makes it so much easier.
Yeah, you have to stay stiff as a board.
Yeah, so I didn't really realize I was cheating myself until I like lay down, and then I'd be like, oh, if my ass is hitting first, that means I was cheating. If my like entire self laid flat, then I know I was doing it right.
Yeah.
So this next time I'm going to do pull-ups.
When you do bodyweight rows like that, do your forearms go first?
No, my back.
Oh, okay. See, my forearms always go first. Because I do that's an exercise I do here at home. I put the bar in my rack, and I do bodyweight rows like that, and my forearms always go first.
I don't weigh that much, so I don't really...
Oh, it sucks.
Grip strength isn't really a factor.
Yeah, like, my forearms hurt so bad after doing that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that. I did that the day after we recorded last week, and then this weekend, I finally did another trail run. I don't think I've done a trail run since I've done my marathon.
Uh-huh.
I've hit the treadmill a few times, but it's been probably, like, 2 months since I've done a trail run, and probably at least 3 weeks since I've done, like, a long, like, even treadmill run. I cut my, like, average pace by 30 seconds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. And I was walking for a good portion of that too, because I stumbled at one part and my knee started hurting. So I was like, oh shit, I'm going to have to cut this workout short. Just walk for a good like 10, 15 minutes to like see if I felt better. I felt fine after that. So I just like kept running again.
So how long did you go for?
I only did 7 miles, and that's not because I was tired. I ran into some friends while I was out training.
Oh, really?
And so I just, like, hung out with them instead.
Oh, okay.
But 7 miles felt like nothing. It felt like I did 2. And I was, you know, ahead of pace and everything. My legs were sore from that workout going into it. So I was like, you know what? That's good enough.
That's enough. Yeah.
No, that's sure I could have kept that pace up for another 8 miles, no problem.
And did your 15.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. Yeah, that's a really good little technique. I'm going to try that.
Yeah, so that's it for me. What about you?
Yeah, this week I bought a goat. This week, you know, we've talked about that. We talked about buying a cow before.
I was like looking around your house right now in your backyard. I was like, where's a goat?
Is there a goat there? Nope, it's not there. So my sister called me. My sister lives on a bunch of property, and she needed a way to kind of manage the grass, right? And she's like, I'm thinking about goats. Do you want one? I was like, sure, fucking do. So it was only $150, and she'll get the goat, and she'll, you know, eat the grass, and then when a couple years later, gonna kill the goat, and I get all the meat.
Oh, nice. Yep. Are you getting milk or anything else out of it?
Yeah, my niece, I text her, and she's like a little farm girl, like she's all about it, and I said, hey, will you milk this goat for me? And she said 100%. And okay. I was like, dope, because the goat milk is expensive.
Oh, it's like $10, $15 for a little, like,
For a liter, it's $8.99. And they charge you a $2, like, glass fee.
Yeah, because they come in, like, fancy bottles.
Fancy bottles, yeah. So, and I have been incorporating milk into my routine a little bit lately, so it'd be nice if I can just get that milk for free. It'll pay for itself literally in, like, 2 months.
That's pretty dope.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Do you have to do anything to the milk? I know, like, you can buy raw milk, but is that just...
But how raw is it?
Yeah.
No clue. I'm going to find out.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to have my niece drink it first. Like, you drink this, see what happens. But hopefully you just put it in a jar and send it my way.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm really excited about that. I think that's going to be interesting for sure. And like we have, like I said, we talked about buying a cow, but when you buy a cow, you're going to get 800-900 pounds of meat. I don't have nowhere to store that much meat.
Yeah, I don't have a freezer. I live in an apartment. Like,
it's not happening.
Yeah, I'd have to buy 2 full-size freezers just for that.
Yeah, so for a goat, like, I have enough space where I can make that happen. And yeah, and another thing that happened this week, I didn't talk to you about this, but one of our, I'm going to have to talk about this kind of roundabout way, because I don't want to put no one's business out there, but
mutual acquaintance?
Yeah, I guess you can say that. Somebody, a client we work with recommended somebody to work with us, and I'd have been talking with this person for a few days, you know, just texting back and forth, explaining our program, explaining what to expect, you know, stuff like that. And I talked to it about you briefly, and I said, hey, I'm going to get this meal plan together. Should be pretty straightforward. And at this stage of the game, I can make a meal plan in my sleep. So it was pretty much a whole food based plan. Honestly, the most lax plan we have. The most generous plan we have. There's carbs, there's fruits, there's chicken, beef, fish, like damn near whatever you want.
It's just eat real food.
Just eat real food, yeah. Right? Okay. So the first day in, now mind you, this person was classic symptoms of a car burner. Always hungry, like, you know, an hour and a half after each meal, like, you know, she's riding that blood sugar roller coaster, right?
Yeah.
And so
typical standard American diet.
100%. Yeah. Well, the health, quote unquote, healthy standard American diet. So like whole wheat bread every couple hours.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Where they're trying, but they're doing it just wrong, you know? So I, you know, let this person know, you know, this transition might be rough. Like, even though this is our whole food plan, it still contains way more fat than a normal person's used to. Like, bulk of your calories are going to be fat.
Yeah. So you're flipping carbs with fat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, even though the carbs are still present, it's not going to be the primary fuel source anymore. And that's going to be, there's a transition period. And it might suck for a few days, a few weeks, but, you know, just grind through it. Okay, cool, cool. First day, talking to this person, they kind of let me know, don't feel too good, have a headache, you know, that type of thing.
And typical keto flu.
Right, typical stuff, right? Okay, are you salting all your meals? Yes, I am. Are you drinking a lot of water? Okay, cool, cool. Next day, get a text, oh, this isn't for me. Can't do this. I'm like, man, really? You know, it's really, what's going on? Let me know. And they mentioned, oh, the diet, I feel like it's lacking in some sort of, like, nourishment. I feel like my body's malnourished, right? And I was like, I can assure you, every vitamin, mineral, and every macronutrient the body needs is here. And in their most bioavailable form.
And it's 2 days. Unless she was running for 2 days straight, she should have enough stored up to keep her okay.
Yes,
She should have enough in reserves.
I know. I don't care if you're eating nothing but Snickers for 2 days. You're not going to be malnourished in 2 days.
Yeah.
Okay? I know. That's a good point. And then they said, like, I just want something that's more balanced. Like, I want a well-balanced diet. And that's such, like, a trigger for me. Because this whole, like, my plate shit. And you know those, like, I don't know, government recommendations. You have to have, like, 5 colors on your plate to make it well-balanced. And a diet that's not well-balanced is a bad diet. And yeah. That's what this person was coming at. Like, oh, it's too restrictive. It's not well-balanced. And I was like, this balance shit is not, it's like, it's new. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, but they backed out. Like, no, it's not for me. I can't do this. You know, better luck next time.
Okay.
It was like a day and a half. And I was so bummed.
I don't know how you can make any judgments that fast. I mean, that's pretty surprising. But, I mean, at least they didn't waste that much of their time, didn't waste that much of your time. Like, I mean, that's the only positive out of that. But, I mean, like, I would think the reason you would come to us is you're not happy with the results that you're getting. So you shouldn't be afraid to try something different if what you were trying wasn't working.
Exactly what I said. I said, you tried this way, it wasn't working. If we're going to try and do this, we're going to need to switch things up.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be like a... For some people, it's smooth. Some people switch up how they eat, they don't notice a thing, and in 2 weeks, they're like, oh, I'm down 10 pounds, and I feel amazing.
Yeah.
But some people, they actually struggle. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like what I think happened is somebody read her meal plan, somebody maybe got in her ear who's very, this person was very pro-vegetables and was like, oh, this person is not enough vegetables in this plan and it's not healthy.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like to me. And I was like, okay. So it was just a bummer, man, because I think she had potential and I think, you know, I think I really could have helped her because... I mean, I know we both do. I stand behind this 100%.
Yeah, this is pretty much like our starter program is almost like how I started, or at least wish I would have started into this. So, I mean, yeah, I don't really... There's nothing wrong with any of it.
No, not at all.
And if there was some sort of deficiency popping up, it wouldn't pop up that fast. Deficiencies take months, years.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you were already extremely deficient coming into it.
Yeah, and it's just, I don't know, it just bummed me out. Because I really think I could have helped her, and I think if she would have stuck to it, we could have accomplished some big things. And, you know, I really do think we're both on to this. And it does come off, if you're on that, you know, whatever, 10 servings of vegetables a day type shit, like if that has to be in your diet or it's not healthy, then this isn't for you.
Well, I think the current my plate is half of the plate is supposed to be fruits and vegetables. A quarter of it is supposed to be grains, healthy grains, whatever those are. I don't know if that term even really means anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the other quarter is protein, not meat, but protein.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're preferring that you use like a tofu based
protein. Or even protein. Like nuts, I think they count as protein too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not our jam at all. No. Like, it could not be more different than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I tried to nail down what they meant by balanced. I was like, well, what exactly do you mean by balanced? Because maybe we can work in something. And we couldn't figure anything out. They didn't know really what to say when they said balanced. They just knew they wasn't balanced. I assume it was like maybe like a whole grain they were thinking is healthy and they wanted. I'm not sure. But
yeah, they needed that fortified wheat.
Yeah, exactly.
With fake B vitamins instead of the real B vitamins that you're getting from meat.
Maybe they're worried about fiber. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But there's plenty of fiber in vegetables.
Yeah, and they were getting vegetables. So, yeah, it just bummed me out. And I just wish, you know, that's what we're fighting against, man. That dogma is so entrenched with people that sometimes we lose them real quick, you know?
Well, it's kind of funny. I was thinking about this the other day. It's like, we have to be told that fruits, vegetables, mostly vegetables and grains are good for us because our body isn't telling us that. Like, our body tells us that meat is good. Like, I don't really hear that much. Like, I have to go out of my way to find, like, research on meat. There's not a whole lot of, like, meat propaganda out there. And it's because our body knows that meat's good, so I'm going to eat it. Like, our body knows, like, hey, fruit, it tastes good. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, hey, you know, fruit's pretty good. Mm-hmm. Like, in certain circumstances, not year-round, but, yeah. You know, in the right circumstance. But vegetables, you got to do quite a bit to them to make those taste good. Grains, you have to do so much just to make them edible, not even make them taste good.
Yeah, go try and eat some wheat from a field and see what happens.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's like, yeah, there's a reason there's so much propaganda behind it, because there has to be. Because we wouldn't be eating those naturally.
Yeah, so that was pretty much my whole week right there, just dealing with that. Kind of bummed out about that, but that's okay. You know, back on the horse and just trying to help other people.
Yeah, you can't help them all.
Can't help them all, yeah. But yeah, I guess let's get into just a topic of the show, which is organ meats. And this one is, I mean, this one's big. This is probably the most nutrient-dense food on the planet.
Yeah, this podcast is going to be awful. I mean, sorry about that. This podcast is going to be about awful. Awful is another name for organ meats. So awful just means the leftovers. So when you think of an animal, mostly what you're thinking of is all the muscle meat, because that's predominantly the edible parts of the animal. And then you have all these leftovers, the offal. So you got the brain, the kidney. We're throwing tongue in there too, even though that's a muscle meat. Gizzard, if you're talking like a chicken or a turkey. Thymus and pancreas, those are also called sweetbread. And then you got more traditional ones like heart and liver. So I'm just going to run through kind of what makes each organ kind of special. All of these organs are loaded with B vitamins. They're all really loaded with all the minerals too. But I'm just going to talk about what makes each of them stand out. So the brain, guess what? It's good for your brain. It's a great source of omega-3s. It is the best source of dietary cholesterol. We just talked about dietary cholesterol and how the whole message around that is so backwards. It's really good for you. Our brain wouldn't be made up of so much cholesterol if it was bad for us. It has a ton of selenium in it too, which is essential for your thyroid function. It's a great source of vitamin B12. All the nerves in there, you need vitamin B12 for that. And it's also a great source of vitamin C. Yes, there is vitamin C in meat. Don't be confused by the opposite.
Yeah, it's there. When we talked about this, we've never had brain before.
I don't know where to get it.
Me either.
But it's out there. Yeah. I know we're just looking up this. There's a supplement company that you can get it from. It's probably a lot more popular in other countries than it is here. Like, maybe that's why it's not out there on our grocery stores. It might be grossing out people.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, here's some steak. Oh, hey, here's some chicken wings. What the hell is that? Nope.
Yeah, not happening.
Maybe that's why. It's probably kind of gross looking.
Maybe next time I go to the store, I'd be down to try brains. I wouldn't know how to cook it, to be honest, but...
My go-to, if you don't know how to cook it, mix it in with ground beef, eat it that way.
yeah, okay. Got it.
So kidney, it's a great source of vitamin B12 and selenium. So tongue is a muscle meat, but it's a really tender muscle meat. Back in the day when I was eating, like, tacos all the time, I love me some lengua tacos. It's so good. So it's a great source of iron, zinc, and again, vitamin B12.
You know, something I bring up, most people don't think they've ever had beef heart or beef tongue, but I guarantee if you ate at Taco Bell or any sort of kind of low-end restaurant that says 100% beef, yet they're selling it for like 65 cents, most likely that beef is going to be heart or tongue. Very common.
I wasn't aware of that, but I mean, it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had lengua?
No.
Okay. It's kind of gross looking because you can like tell that it's tongue.
It's a tongue.
Yeah. If you know what it's tongue, you can kind of tell. But it is like some of the softest meat you'll ever eat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's delicious.
I know some like specialty markets usually have tongue.
Probably like Hispanic ones.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So gizzard, these you can only get from chickens and like turkeys and other birds. It's kind of a stomach. I don't really know exactly what it is or how to explain it, but it's a great source of zinc, iron, phosphorus, and selenium. So this one is sweetbread. No idea why it's called sweetbread. I've never tried it, but I'm willing to bet that it probably tastes really good. It's either the pancreas or the thymus. Two completely different organs that are in two completely different parts of the body. Your pancreas is like right over your stomach, like right where your small intestine is. Your thymus is like up in your throat. Don't know why they're both called sweetbread. You got a theory on that?
Yeah, I do. So I looked up kind of the nutritional differences between liver, heart, kidney, and pancreas. And as far as protein and fat, liver, heart, kidney is pretty similar, all in the same ballpark, just similar to muscle meat, honestly. But pancreas is very different. It has, I think, over 6 times the amount of fat compared to these other parts of the body. So, and fat, if you don't know, that's what gives a lot of these foods flavor. So it makes sense to me that this we call sweetbread. Well, assuming that sweetbread is a positive thing and they're saying it tastes good because they're getting the flavor from fat. So maybe they add that to meals and to kind of enhance the flavor. That's my theory, at least.
Yeah, I don't know about sweet, but I'm sure it does taste good. I mean, when I think of fat, like I think of bacon, which is like mostly fat, and that's one of the most delicious foods out there.
The best.
Yeah. So because that it's so high in fat, it's a great source of omega-3. It's high in vitamin A, vitamin E, and vitamin K2.
All those fat-soluble vitamins.
Yeah, exactly. And vitamin K2, it can only come from animal sources. And that's a vitamin, that's the type of vitamin K that your body needs. So you can get K1 from stuff like kale, but that has to be converted into K2. And I don't even know if it really can. There's not a whole lot of research on vitamin K.
No, there's not. Yeah, it seems like K1's damn near useless to us. So if you're looking for a K, always go for the K2. Yeah, the next one, this is my bread and butter, talking about heart. So did I just cook 3 pounds of heart? Sure did, you know? So it's a muscle meat. It's very similar to like steak, you know? And it's a great source of CoQ10 and vitamin B12. And we actually have a whole podcast on CoQ10 and how just, I guess, critical it is for overall health. And we talked about it last week that talking about cholesterol and statins, they prevent our body from making CoQ10. And also the general recommendation to eat less red meat is just a double whammy for people to be deficient in CoQ10. There's so many people out there who don't have enough CoQ10 in their diet and they're not even aware of it, because you're not going to find CoQ10 on like the nutrition label in the back. You're not going to find it even online searching for vitamins and minerals for like some sort of cut of meat or some food. You won't find CoQ10, but it is very important, and it revolves around just the electron transport chain and how our body produces energy. CoQ10 is a key like cog in that system. If we don't have CoQ10, our electrons and our mitochondria are not going to be doing the proper things. But that's one of the huge benefits of CoQ10 is it's so high, of heart, is it's so high in CoQ10. And CoQ10 levels in heart are roughly 3 times that found in liver and 4 times found in muscle meat. It's crazy. So in about a pound of heart, you're going to get 50 milligrams of CoQ10. Which is, that's a lot. You know, even supplements are going to be around that 50 to 100. So you're going to be getting just as much from heart than you would in a supplement. Also, heart is the densest form of collagen and elastin that you'll find in any sort of meat. And that's great for like skin health and joint health, things like that. And that's apparent if you cook with heart a lot, like I do. Normally you cook with ground beef, it like crumbles. You can like ladle ground beef, and it's kind of just like grains, you know, it's all separated. Beef heart isn't. It's so stuck together with like collagen and its elastin. You can pull out beef heart, even if it's all ground, almost like a brick. You know, it sticks together a lot.
Even when it's ground up?
Even when it's ground up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it just tends to stick together. And also it's a pretty good source of omega-3, especially compared to like muscle meat and liver. So heart will have more omega-3 than those two sources. So it's just, it's honestly a great source. And that's like my base of my diet is beef heart. Obviously because it's healthy, but secondly because it's just dirt cheap. People just don't want to buy it. So I get it for damn near, I think it's almost $3.50 a pound, which, and it's like local grass-fed stuff. So that's like, that's really cheap for something so nutritious.
That's way cheaper than any steak.
Yeah, way cheaper than any steak.
I wish
I
could get a ribeye for $3.50
of that. Oh, God. Hey, if I could, I wouldn't be in heart every damn day, trust me. But, but yeah, and, but yeah, we discovered CoQ10 first in 1957 through studying beef heart, because it's just so dense in CoQ10. So that's when we first discovered it. All right, next we're going to go into the liver, and that's like the powerhouse of this podcast. There's so much stuff in liver. But first, a quick message from me. TNT, wellnessandnutrition.com, whole food nutrition rediscovered. If you are struggling looking to improve your health or optimize your lifestyle, you can sign up for a custom meal plan on our website, TNTwellnessandnutrition.com. Back to today's topic.
So liver has a nickname. It's called nature's multivitamin because it really is. It's high in everything you could possibly need. So there is like one little misconception about liver is that you always need to buy like grass-fed, organic, or that. That's not really the case. It's not a filter. Yes, it is a detox organ, but it doesn't store toxins there.
I'm glad you actually say this. So I eat liver actually pretty regularly, and people who know what I eat, they think it's gross, you know? And some lady was like, oh, you're just eating, she said you're eating shit. She's like, oh, you're just eating crap. Like, don't you know the liver store stuff? And I was like, what? I was like, no, it doesn't.
No.
And she's like, yeah, you, and I was like, you don't know anything about anatomy. You know what I mean? I was like, it was just like, it was such a dumb statement to me. It threw me off.
Yeah, I know. It's, but you know, it's really common. So many people think that.
Yeah.
So really, if you want to be like actually careful about this, we store toxins in fat. So if anything, like your fattier cuts of meat, that's what you should be buying, organic, grass-fed, all that stuff. The leaner cuts of meat, you can get away with buying just conventional if you're trying to save money, especially when it comes to something leaner like a liver. Like, liver is not naturally fatty.
That's so, a good point.
Yeah, so just kind of just throwing that out there. Like, you know, your ribeyes, you should be buying that grass-fed before you're buying liver grass-fed.
If you're really worried about toxins, you know what I mean? Yeah.
So it's a great source of vitamin A, vitamin C, vitamin K2. Again, you can only get that from animal sources. And then other nutrients like copper, iron, and zinc.
Yeah, so I initially was going to talk about vitamin C this week a lot. So I did a lot of research on vitamin C because a lot of people think there isn't vitamin C in meat. And like Tom said earlier, that's not true. Even in muscle meat, which is fairly low compared to all the other types of meat in an animal, you'll get about 10 milligrams of vitamin C per pound. And if you're eating any sort of amount of meat a day, that's a, you can eat a pound of meat very easy. Vitamin C in liver is actually pretty high. Like in 100 grams of liver, you get about 27 milligrams of vitamin C, which is a lot. So I thought, okay, let me go into the history of vitamin C and all this crap. But after about a few hours of doing research and just, I go through the like the ancestral arguments, right? So I was going through like just the evolution of man and when, because for mammals, it's actually pretty unique that we don't synthesize our own vitamin C. The majority of mammals synthesize vitamin C from glucose, right? They're very similar. But humans lost it, some other apes, and I think like bats, like a few things did as well. So I was like, okay, so it seems like the rise in uric acid, once uric acid rose in humans, like we weren't humans at the time, we were primates, like just like 10 million years ago, then we drop the need for vitamin C because uric acid is such a potent antioxidant, it kind of took the role of vitamin C. So we just didn't need that much anymore. But it's complicated as shit, and that's about as far as I can go. And it wasn't enough for me to actually like talk about it in depth here. And when I thought it was going to be top level, but it wasn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when it comes to things like scurvy, you might be thinking, oh, hey, you need vitamin C to prevent scurvy. That's pretty much true if you're on like a high carb diet. But like naturally, if you're on a high carb diet, if you're eating like natural sources of high carbs, you should be getting them from fruit, and there's going to be a pretty decent amount of vitamin C in that. So that'll help you digest the carbs. If you're not eating a high carb diet, then the need for vitamin C goes way down, And also, when you eat meat, you're getting a lot of collagen. And that's what you're getting stripped of when you have scurvy. So the need of it drastically goes down on a high meat diet, because you're getting more collagen and you're still getting trace amounts, and you're not getting all that glucose to metabolize with it.
Exactly. Yeah, it's honestly, there's plenty of reasons why you don't need that much vitamin C when you're eating a species appropriate diet. So, and eventually I do want to do a podcast on vitamin C, because I think it deserves it, but not this one. I pulled up a little chart kind of comparing kale to liver, because I mean, what's the word on kale on the street?
I mean, that's a superfood out there.
Right? Best stuff on the planet.
Blueberries is another one of those superfoods.
Yeah, exactly, right? So everyone thinks kale is like some special shit. I mean, I'm not saying it's terrible. You know, if you really want to eat some bitter-ass green leaves, go ahead, you know? But when you compare it to beef liver, it's just not even close. So especially when it comes to vitamin A, like beef liver has got over like 50,000 units of vitamin A per 100 grams. You know how much is in kale?
Does it even have beta carotene?
No, doesn't even. That's a good distinction. It doesn't even have beta carotene, let alone retinol, which is the active form and the absorbable form of vitamin A. So it has none. When you're talking about all the B vitamins, liver has more. When you're talking about like iron, phosphorus, potassium, zinc, liver has more. The only two nutrients that per 100 grams, and mind you, when this is just by weight, a serving size of 100 grams of kale is way more than a serving size of 100 grams of liver. Like 100 grams of liver is like a little slice. Oh, yeah, 100 grams of kale is like a bowl.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's something that people get lost when they look at these numbers. But you will have a little bit more vitamin C in kale. So it's going to be 41 milligrams compared to 27. And you will have more calcium. So you'll have 72 milligrams of calcium in kale and 11 milligrams of calcium in liver. And we've talked about vitamin C and calcium in the past and how they're kind of, they're not as important as everyone thinks they are.
Oh, definitely not. But what about like some of the places that liver destroys kale? What about like B12?
Yeah, B12, it's crazy. So kale has no B12. You aren't going to find any B12 in any plant source food, period. And B12 is so important. So in about 100 grams of beef liver, you're going to get 111 milligrams of B12. And by the way, that is a shit ton of B12. Like B12, you really don't need a lot in your body, but that is just, it blows it out of the water when it comes to B12.
All right, so you talk about calcium, which is the number one mineral in our body. What about the number two one, phosphorus? How does that compare?
Yeah, phosphorus, not even close. So phosphorus in kale is 28 milligrams. Phosphorus in liver, 476 milligrams. Magnitudes of time more.
I'm not great at math, but that's like 18 times more, somewhere around there, 17 times more. Yeah. That's a shit ton more.
It's a lot. It's so much more. Yeah. And like you said, that's such an important thing that people, I don't know, people talk about calcium all the time. Got to get the calcium up, got to get the calcium up. No one talks about phosphorus.
Yeah, that's the number two mineral in our body. Yeah, we need a lot of it.
It's important.
It's just not tied as like tightly with our bone health as calcium is. But yeah, it's still very essential.
Yeah, very essential. And even when it comes to zinc, zinc's very important for the production of testosterone and other kind of sex hormones. In beef liver, you're going to get 4 milligrams of zinc. In kale, you're going to get only 0.2 milligrams. And mind you, when I'm talking about these values for kale, you are not talking about the actual bioavailability of the nutrients. Like, that's a whole separate topic. But if you're just taking it straight from, like, straight face value, this is the values. But I would argue these should be cut in half or shit even quarters, because you're not going to be getting this from kale. You're not going to absorb that much.
Yeah, oxalates are going to get in the way. Lectins are going to have some sort of role as well.
Even storage. I mean, when was this kale picked? Where was it picked? How far did it travel to get to your house? Like, the nutrients deplete over time. They really do.
Yeah, that's another good point. And then also, you're going to be eating so much more liver compared to kale.
Yep. Very true. And yeah, you mentioned B12 earlier. I got in a little argument. So if you've been following us for a while, you know we did a podcast on the nutritional deficiencies of the vegan diet. I don't know how long ago that was. It was a while ago.
I think it came out right around New Year's.
Around New Year's. Okay. So that episode was pretty popular, and you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. You know what I mean? I get it. Yeah, if you're a plant-based person, you probably hated that episode. But on Twitter, I got into a little back and forth with someone who made the argument that, and see if you follow this. I mean, this is some backward ass logic, but see if you do. That we all technically supplement with B12 because even the animals we eat don't make B12. They're injected with B12. That all B12 is supplemented. That we make it in the lab, and that's how we get B12.
Now, how did B12 come on this planet in the first place?
Oh, good question. Let me tell you. That was my argument with this person. I was like, what? I was like, let me give you a little history of how we've actually discovered vitamin B12. So, something I talk about a lot is, like, food as medicine. I think we both agree on that, you know? That what we eat really dictates how healthy we are. Like, it's important to put the right fuel in our body. So, that's honestly how we discovered most vitamins. Like, people had conditions, and they were fed various foods, and sometimes these foods cured those conditions, and they're like, okay, what's the active ingredients here? Then they isolate it, and then they just named it a vitamin, pretty much, right? So, there was a condition called pernicious anemia, and it was discovered by Thomas Addison in 1849. He also discovered Addison's disease. That's a pretty common disease some people know about. And so pernicious anemia is a blood disorder in which the body can't make enough red blood cells, and it's fatal. It was dropping people left and right, okay? So in 1926, they showed that this disease could be cured by eating large amounts of beef liver. And they didn't know what in the liver cured the disease. They just knew, hey, if we give this person 5 pounds of this shit, they don't die, okay? It took them another 22 years before the active ingredient in liver was isolated. And that turned out to be B12. So B12 has two distinct functions, and one is in cell division, and this is especially true in rapidly dividing cells, like the ones in bone marrow that have produced red blood cells. And the second function is in the manufacturing of myelin sheath, and that's the insulating layer around all the nerves throughout our body. So without adequate B12, the integrity of that sheath is destroyed. And think of all the symptoms with multiple sclerosis. That's a disease where the myelin sheath kind of breaks down over time. Actually, my cousin has that. And what he likes to like show me all the time, I guess, to prove that he has multiple sclerosis, that he can't really jump anymore. Like, his legs won't fire to jump. So, like, a big thing is the muscles in his legs, like, they just don't get the signal from his brain anymore. Without the myelin sheath, like, they kind of, instead of reaching all the way down to his quads and his calves and his feet to contract, they kind of get stopped halfway. And that's something we don't appreciate muscle contraction. We don't appreciate nerve impulses.
They happen so instant, you're not really...
Don't even think about it.
As soon as you think about it, it's happening.
Exactly, yeah. Right? So it's really not until some condition like this kicks in that you realize, oh shit, like, nerve impulses and our brain telling what our muscles to do is so vital to everything we do. That's what B12 deficiency can happen. So that causes all those problems. And that's why B12 is so important. And it's actually one of the most potent vitamins. Actually, it is the most potent vitamin we need. Like I said earlier, we really don't need that much. Just 1 ounce of B12 would be enough for the daily needs of the entire population of the UK.
Damn.
That puts it in perspective, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we're talking like each person needs like micrograms. But you see, even though we need that little, when you don't get it from your food, bad shit can happen. So that's how we discovered B12. It was curing diseases. So that vegan, that's what I told that vegan. I was like, we were using B12 to cure people before we knew what B12 was. How the shit were we like making it in a lab? There's no way.
Yeah, I don't know how you would make something that you didn't know existed.
Impossible.
Yeah.
And we know we were curing people of this.
Yeah, that is a crazy argument.
And that's some vegan logic shit. Vegan logic.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, yeah. And actually, one of the symptoms of B12 deficiencies, it says occasionally there can be mental disturbances. You think?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. And it makes sense. We talked about earlier, like, there's so much vitamin B12 in your brain. That's one of the best sources from it. And it has to do with all the nerves and everything like that going on there.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
there's exactly. So many neural connections going on in your brain. Yeah, you need a lot of B12 there for all the myelin sheath.
Yeah, to make everything happen. Yeah. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the different types of liver. So you've tried different types of liver, right?
Fish liver and beef liver, but fish liver mostly through like supplements, not actually eating it.
Okay.
I've seen chicken liver. It does not look appetizing. Because, like, when you see chicken liver, it's the entire liver. When you get beef liver, usually it's already sliced
slices.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, funny. I agree with that. Yeah, I don't think chicken liver looks appealing at all.
It looks... I don't know, like, do you bite into it or do you eat the whole thing whole? Like, I wouldn't even know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you go to a restaurant and you go to, like, a professional chef that knows what he's doing, he can make that shit taste delicious. But I'm far from a professional chef, so I don't know what I'm doing with that.
Yeah, no, I don't either. The only liver I eat, and I'll eat it, I mean, I try and eat it a few times a week, is beef liver, and it's great. And compared to the other livers, beef liver is the most calorically dense. It contains more vitamins, B6, B12, zinc, and phosphorus. But the problem with beef liver is it's just not appealing. Like, people don't like the taste. And I get it. It doesn't taste the best. I've had it for a while now, and I'm still not, like, a huge fan of it. And I think it has to do a little bit with the vitamin A content. I'm not 100% sure, but it's just so much vitamin A. I feel like it kind of messes with taste buds a little bit. And
it could be something to do with the iron, too.
And iron as well. It does taste real irony. Sometimes it can taste like you're eating, like, a little iron bar. So that's not appealing at all. Oh, and a little side note. There's, if you go up to the Inuit or anywhere, like, where polar bears are, they won't eat polar bear liver. And that's because they know that if they eat that liver, they'll get sick. And there's so much vitamin A in polar bear liver, it's, like, ridiculous. It's, like, 100 times more than beef liver. And we've talked about it, I feel like we talked about vitamins last, like, 5 weeks, what vitamin A, retinol, is really good for.
It's great for your eyes.
Great for your eyes. Guess what? You ever heard of being blinded by snow? You ever heard of that?
Yeah. Okay. I could see that happening there.
Okay. So what do you think polar bears are fucking with every day? Snow. They need so much vitamin A because their eyes are constantly, constantly being strained by all that reflection off the snow. And they need to be able to see really good. So it makes sense that their liver is packed full with more vitamin A than any other animal on the planet.
So if you have too much vitamin A, then you're going to be super sensitive to any sort of light.
That's what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, so I remember we were talking about this a couple weeks ago, which is, like, how it's very difficult to... You can, like, overeat, like, vitamins, but it's really hard to do.
Yeah.
It's really hard to do, but I guess that's a natural way to do it.
It is, yeah. But it's funny, the... like, we talk about how, like, white people mess up rice. Like, yeah. They know we're eating brown rice. Like, the people who actually eat polar bear, like, who actually still to this day hunt polar bear... They're smart enough to know that if we do eat this liver, super tiny amounts, and it's not going to be a meal. Like, some, like, old white explorer is going to cut up this polar bear, eat a whole liver, and that's it. Bye-bye, it's all she wrote.
I don't know how smart you are if you're out there hunting polar bear.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe leave those suckers alone.
I think that would probably be, like, one of the last edibles. I'd have to be so hungry for me to want to go out in the middle of the snow and come across just this giant monster that just wants to kill you.
Yeah, they're crazy. You know their skin's black? You know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
I didn't know that until recently. I was looking it up with this vitamin A shit. I guess I was looking at polar bear a little bit more.
Yeah. No, I follow one of the podcasts I listen to. It's like a sports show, but they have he's a zoologist.
Mm-hmm.
And he just talks about a whole bunch of just random animal facts. 15 minutes a week, I've been listening to his show forever. And it's got so many random tidbits
in it. And polar bears came up?
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So, so chicken liver, I've never had chicken liver, but I know it's real popular and it's definitely extremely healthy. So if that's your variety of liver you like, go ahead, go to town. It contains more fat than beef liver. It contains more folate and iron than beef liver. And it's most commonly used in pâtés and liver recipes because it has the mildest flavor of all the livers. And actually, you know what? You just said earlier, and I agreed with you, that the iron content in beef liver makes it kind of not taste as good. But chicken liver has more iron than beef liver, and it has the mildest flavor.
Oh, so maybe not.
So maybe not. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I just put that together right there. And there's also fish liver that you can get. It is the best source for omega-3 fatty acids. I'm honestly by like a country mile. So if you're looking for omega-3s, fish liver is the way to go. Something like cod liver oil. It's a great source for vitamin A, and it's the best source for vitamin D as well. So fish oil is a real, real good source.
Yeah, so let's just talk about ways so you can incorporate some of these offals into your diet.
Oh, you're not saying people aren't just going to ground heart up like me and eat it every day?
Heart is probably the best place to start.
Yeah, it is the most palatable.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar to a steak.
It's pretty much like a sirloin.
Yeah, so if you're looking for something that you can just eat and it's going to remind you of another meal, Heart's probably the best place to start. But let's say you can't even do that. So another way you can get liver, and I think liver is probably the most important organ to eat if you're going to introduce any of these.
For sure.
So one way you can do it is you can freeze it and then take it out and like just cut it up into little like pill-sized pieces and just take them as pills. Take it as like an actual multivitamin. And this is going to be way better than any multivitamin you're going to get in a vitamin shop, GNC, anywhere else.
Way cheaper too. This is something I've thought about doing it. I just don't because I just cut up liver and eat it, you know? But if I really hated it that much, I would do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and if, like, I know many doctors, or not many doctors, but people, like, in this type
of... The decent ones?
Yeah. Like, the doctors that we follow, a lot of them recommend doing just this for, like, pregnant women. It's like, hey, this is a multivitamin you can take.
I love that.
Really looking for one.
Yeah.
You can also do what I do, is you can... put these organs through a meat grinder and then combine them with ground beef. And once they're mixed with ground beef, you can't tell the difference. I make hamburger patties out of them. You can't tell that you're eating them. You could also use them to make like some tacos, meatballs, whatever else you're going to do. You can also, if you have a meat grinder, or you can even buy these in the store, there's like liverwurst, stuff like that. You can eat sausages with them.
Yeah.
So it's another easy, delicious way to incorporate them.
I did that with... God, it was so gross. I ground up heart and I ground up liver. And now I get it ground from the butcher itself. This was before when I decided to ground it myself. Like I borrowed your meat grinder. And the heart-liver combo, I mean, I'm pretty, like, gangster about shit. You know, yeah. I'm just like, I'm eating it. I didn't care. That put it to the test.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't put anything on it. And I'm just over here eating this bowl of heart and liver mixed up. And I was like, this is rough. I was like, I'm not doing this again. Yeah.
So yeah, combining it with ground beef is probably a good idea.
Yeah, I think that's a way to do it.
Cook it in some bacon fat, add some bacon to it too.
Yeah.
Bacon makes everything better.
Yeah, I remember when the only time I ate liver as a kid was at your house, and your mom would make bacon and liver.
Yeah, it was like liver and onions, but mostly bacon.
Yeah.
To make it all palatable.
Mm-hmm. She was onto something.
And that's such an old school meal.
Yeah, if you talk to anybody, especially kind of the older generation, like 50 plus nowadays, they'll tell you as a kid, their parents made them eat liver.
Yeah, liver and onions was like a spaghetti and meatballs, like to this generation.
Yeah, like a staple.
I don't know, is spaghetti and meatballs like popular now? Is that like macaroni and cheese to like this generation?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
So yeah, that's just another good way. So like a less common way, but the Epic company, they're coming out with all sorts of stuff. I see Epic every time I go in the grocery store. They got tons of, like, they got duck fat, tallow, lard.
Hold on, do Epic make bars?
Epic, yeah, they also make bars.
That's, okay, I think that's how I know them.
Like, bars, beef jerky, they're taking this carnivore movement, like, to the next level. Like, they're definitely...
You know somebody who's going to.
Yeah, they're the only company that I know that's, like, made it big time.
Good.
So they also make liver bites. And it's, like, a beef jerky, and it's also combined with, like, little bits of beef. So, like, when you reach in the bag, you're getting a handful of, like, beef jerky and some liver.
It's like your definition, I mean, your tactic with ground beef and sausage in a meat grinder.
Yeah, you just combine it.
Yeah.
That way you don't even know that you're eating it. And then if you can't do any of these, there's a company called Ancestral Supplements, and they got every single organ you could think of. They got organs that you couldn't even think of. I remember just looking through their site. So you could get ground up bones, you can get... brain, spleen. I didn't know you could eat a spleen. That's not something I ever thought about.
Yeah.
Like pretty much every organ in the body, they got it in a pill. And then they also have like a multi like supplement that's got like five different organs combined into one. So Ancestral Supplements, we have no financial ties. That's a good place to get all of them. And they're all from like grass-fed cows.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw on there, they even have something with lungs, right?
Yeah, that's something I never thought of.
Yeah, no, me either. I know the butcher talked to me about some guy coming in and actually asking for lungs. And it's funny, they think that everybody who asks for these like crazy cuts of meat like know each other. He's like, oh, do you know the guy that came in to get lungs? I'm like, no, sure didn't. Like, we're not part of some like club or something. But so I guess people do eat lungs of animals. I don't know.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And how we were just talking about how, like, it's such an old-school way of eating. Well, I was at the farmer's market about a month ago with my girlfriend, and we were going up to this booth, and they sell some organ meats there. And some guy was there with his daughter. She's probably, like, 8 years old, and she loves this. Like, she loves all the organ meats because she hasn't been like brainwashed to thinking that they're bad.
Good.
And it was pretty funny. So they were we were having a conversation, and the guy kept referring to all the organ meats as awful. So like after we walked away, we had like a 5-minute conversation. My girlfriend was like, why do you keep saying that they were awful, but he kept saying that they were tasting good? Like, what was going on?
So he didn't contradict himself.
Yeah, she was just so confused. I was like, no, awful means organ meats. Mm-hmm. That's what he meant by saying awful. And she was just, like, so lost the entire conversation.
That's funny. Yeah. You don't pronounce it awful?
I've never heard it as awful.
Okay, because every time I read it, I said awful in my head. Because I naturally wouldn't say awful. But if that old guy was saying awful, he's probably right. Because that's his generation right there.
Yeah, and everybody the guy wasn't old. He was, like, a couple years older than us.
Oh, really?
He had an 8-year-old daughter.
The dude wasn't I thought it was his granddaughter. Sorry.
The dude wasn't in his 80s.
Oh, okay. I'm thinking some dude, like, World War II. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, okay, never mind.
Yeah, but yeah, it's O-F-F-A-L. Mm-hmm. So, off.
Full. Yeah. Off full. Yeah. No, I get it. Okay. Well, all right. Well, that's all the tips we have for organ meats. Like, we just stress, you know, you should incorporate them into your diet. Something like a beef heart, that can be a staple of your diet, honestly, every day. Like, it's a staple of my diet. And then I would say I supplement with beef liver. You know, a few days a week, I get my serving of beef liver in, just kind of top off all these vitamins and minerals and make sure everything is, you know, in sufficient quantities. But just, if you can start, just start small, work your way up, and you'll feel the difference. You'll be healthier in no time.
Yeah, these are real superfoods. I know that term superfood gets, like, thrown out there left and right. But these are, like, the real definition of superfoods. If you want to look up, like, the top 20 most nutrient-dense foods, half of them are going to be organ meats.
Yep, and they're superfoods, and they don't cost a ton of money. And trust me, nobody else wants them. So if you go to your butcher and ask for them, they'll have some for you. Well, all right, did you have a tip of the week this week?
Yeah, I do. And this is called Make Your Post-Workout Meal Count. So I know a lot of people, how I used to do this, is after your hardest workout, you're like, you know what, I deserve a little treat. So you go out there, some people have some pizza, some people have beer, like mine was some ice cream. So the very first time I ran 15 miles, I was like, you know what? I deserve a reward. So I went out and I got some ice cream. You know what happened ever since then? Every single time I went running, once I started getting towards the end, started getting tired, I'm hot as shit because it's out there in the sun and everything, I would just start craving ice cream. So like that last hour, I wasn't thinking about my time. I wasn't thinking about how great of a job it is or how much my body hurts or anything like that. All I'm thinking about is I can't wait to get to my car, drive to the grocery store, and get me some damn ice cream.
You earned it.
Yeah. Which, hey, you know what? Maybe it's probably not doing that bad for me. My glycogen levels are stores are low. So all that glucose has a place to go. But what it is doing is it increased my cravings for ice cream through the roof. I was not eating ice cream all the time until I started doing that. So what was going on there is I like to just think of it financially. So, hey, if all your bills are paid, your fridge is full, you know, you have a full gas tank, like you don't really need that much money, you're looking forward to your next paycheck, but it's not really going to change anything because all of it's just going to go into your savings. It's not really going to change your life. But if you are flat broke, you have no gas in your car, your fridge is empty, you got like a stack of unpaid bills, like you're just low on everything, that next paycheck, it could be the lowest paycheck of your life. You're going to be looking forward to that so much. And that's what was going on with me. All my stores were so low. My glycogen was low. My magnesium was low.
You were broke.
Yeah, I was broke. Nutritionally broke. So I was looking forward to just filling those needs with whatever I possibly could. But wouldn't it be so much better for my body is if instead of just giving it like some little half-ass paycheck, if I was given the best paycheck of my life, I'd be able to fulfill all my needs. I'd be able to fill up my fridge, fill up my gas tank, and pay all my bills instead of being able to do like one of those three things. So that's what you should be doing after your toughest workout, is eating the most nutrient-dense meal you could possibly think of. So for me, it was a dozen eggs, it was like half a pound of bacon, I did a sweet potato because I didn't need that glycogen, it had some place to go. And it's also a decent source of magnesium. Threw an avocado in there, it's a great source of potassium, and it's also a decent source of magnesium as well. So I was able to address all my needs with this one superfood instead of trying to address all those needs with some ice cream, which was just maybe fulfilling like one or two of them. And guess what? After I did that, my cravings for ice cream went away. So, hey, it just shows that I was only craving that ice cream because my body associated that with my needs being low and this was meeting my needs. But once I was meeting my needs with something so much better, that craving just went away. So when you have that toughest workout, hey, you know what? If you want to reward yourself, that's fine. There's no big deal about that. But make sure the first thing you put into your body is something that's really going to address those things fully instead of some half-assed, like, band-aid to the situation.
Exactly. Yeah, what would have been a better, get all those eggs, get the avocado, get the, you know, sweet potato, and then afterwards, you want the little bit of ice cream? Go ahead.
Yeah, I deserved it.
Yeah, exactly. You earned it. You've done enough. And it's not going to do that much damage at that point, you know, but you want to make sure you cover all your bases. Like, after you work out, your body is so much more sensitive to nutrients. Give it the best nutrients on earth.
Yeah, my body was probably doing more with that ice cream than it was doing with any other meal during the week, just because I had so many, like, needs going on there, when normally during the week I don't have that many needs.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. No, it's very true.
Yeah, and honestly, there's so many runners that just run so they can go have pizza or they can do a beer afterwards. And that's just a complete wrong mindset to be having with your exercise.
It is. It is a wrong mindset, yeah. But it makes sense. Like you said, you kind of get stuck in that trap and that kind of endless loop of workout then reward, workout then reward. So, well, all right, that's another episode in the books. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can find us at tntwellnessandnutrition.com. And all through June, we're still having that discount for the coaching, for the updated website, so go ahead and check that out if you're interested. And you can email us at tntwellnessandnutrition@gmail.com if you have any questions.
Yeah, please rate and subscribe to the podcast. You can find us on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud. Hey, if you know somebody that would appreciate this episode, I know a lot of people aren't really taking advantage of these organ meats. It's something that everybody should have in their diet. So make sure you send it their way. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.